At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Monday, November 28, 2022. Well, unfortunately, Thanksgiving holiday is over. It's gone. We got Christmas snacks and then New Year's. It might be tempting to pretend that the market today is just like it was last year at this time. We had a good week last week, but I wouldn't do that. It can be pretty dangerous. Market dynamics are constantly changing, and you got to pay attention to them. So we're not going to have, if you remember right, the market topped like January 1st of this year. Okay, topped. And we just had a week, as I said, of Thanksgiving, you know, pretty good week. Not a great week, but it was up. But today was a pretty down day. So gotta be ready. I'm Steve Peasley. I'm here today on the radio and podcast to help you make the most of the portfolio strategy you should be following for you. Help you with the decisions you need to make. In fact, I look forward to doing the show, as I always do. And I'd love to hear your financial investment questions when you call. So call. If you do not have a strategy, a long-term, short-term and long-term strategy, you need to come up with one. There need to be a reason other than I just want to make money. Well, that's not a strategy. I want to make money. Everybody wants to make money. The strategy is, how are you going to accomplish the goals you set for yourself? Make sure you set goals and figure out a strategy to achieve those goals. That's it. So I want to hear your questions. I'm live. Where the phone is always up and running, and you can ask your questions anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I'm live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And, of course, if you do not want to call because you drive the show wherever you want to drive it, if you do not, I have lots of things to talk about. And my focus point today concerns why you should be cautious as China concerns affect the market rally. Do you know what the China concerns are? Because they affected the market today. So if you don't, we're going to talk about it. Okay, we'll be discussing. I got other things. Black Friday. Winners and losers for Black Friday. So I got who made more than expected, more money than expected, had more sales than expected, and who had less than expected. Another one, 50% of Americans earning over $100,000 say they are living paycheck to paycheck. And finally, Fed policymakers say they will keep increasing rates. Those are things we're going to discuss. Of course, you drive the show. That's, of course, time permitting. Okay, and I have voice bank questions, of course, and I will get to those. One's on stock screeners, and one's on BTU, Peabody Energy Corporation. So I got all this planned, everybody. So what did the market do today? It was down pretty good. The Dow was down 498 points. The NASDAQ was down 177 points, and the S&P 500 was down 62 points. So not a good start of the week. And we're going to have tons of economic numbers coming out this week. Just so you know, there'll be lots of it later on in the week. So that's what we're going to discuss. But let's go ahead and get started on our first caller. Here's the first caller question.
Hi, this is George from Los Gatos, and I have a question about Hess Corporation, ticker H-E-E-S. I'm considering to take a small position, and I would just like to get your opinion. Thank you.
Okay, H-E-E-S is H&E Equipment Services. That's what that's. I'm wondering if he meant H-E-S-S, which I think is no, okay, so that's the one he wanted. Okay, H-E-E-S. Okay, provides heavy construction and specialized industry equipment leasing across 102 locations in 24 states. It's a $1.5 billion company. It's going to make $4.14 next year, $3.25 this year. The stock is a $40.93 stock, so it's selling at a next year's earnings at a 10 PE. The five-year average is 4 to 52. Return on equity is 22%, which is very good. Cash flow is very high at $8.82, which is very good. But it also has a lot of debt. So that's one of the reasons why return on equity is so high, because there's a lot of debt. So you got to be careful. What is that debt that they're carrying? Why do they have so much debt, and is it going to be a problem for them? Now, the stock has already had a pretty good move up, and I wouldn't buy it here because it looks like it's going to top right around $45 to $47, and it's at $40 now. So I would wait. I'd be patient. I would not be in a rush. It looks like it bottoms right around, let's see, there's a good strong support right around $26, $27. I think that would be, it has to bounce to bound to there, then start up again before I would be interested in buying it. That's where I would take a look at it. Keep it on your watch list. It's a good, strong company. Good, strong company. But I think we got to wait for a weakness before you want to buy it. You want to see it come off a strong support. Right now it's coming up against strong resistance, and I'd rather not buy it unless it breaks out of resistance. But we're not there yet. We're headed into a break. Justin Klein and I are happy to play your recorded voicemail questions, but we love talking live calls. We love it. So talk to us. Give us a call. Our number never changes, and it never closes. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
In today's world, a variety of factors are affecting the stock markets. Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. With total downloads nearing 50 million, each InvestTalk podcast should be one of your key financial planning and educational tools. InvestTalk is a free download, and hosts Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to provide their unbiased guidance and professional analysis developed from real-time data research and years of investing experience. 24/7, rain or shine, during smooth sailing or on rough weather days, the InvestTalk listener line is open and waiting for your questions. You set the agenda. Don't forget to call. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Each day, InvestTalk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for InvestTalk at iTunes. And be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments. And of course, your calls are always welcome 24/7. Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, Mark from North Carolina here. Just wondering if you guys use any stock screeners, and if so, what kind of filters do you guys have on there to filter out the companies that you're not interested in? Thanks. Have a good one.
Okay, we do not buy stock screeners or buy information from stock screeners, but we do build our own. We build our own stock screeners. We get raw data and build our own stock screeners, and we do not necessarily share that information over the air. That's for our clients. But just to give you some idea of what you should do, you have to first decide, because we have a number of stock screeners. So let's say we're looking for dividend-paying stocks that have consistency in paying dividends. Well, that stock screener would be vastly different than a stock screener that we're looking for growth stocks with earnings. Or we're looking for value stocks with not necessarily paying dividends. Or we're looking for specific sectors. See, so this varies. But one thing you want to screen for, we never screen for companies that don't make money. We always screen for companies that make money. That's number one. We don't buy stocks that don't make money. Well, I don't want to say never, because then, you know, we do every so often, but it's pretty darn rare. If you're looking for growth stocks, then you look for growth. You say, I want sales growth to be 20% or higher. I want profits to be, you know, earnings to be growing 20% or higher, 30% or 10%, whatever you want. If you're looking for dividend stocks, they don't usually grow that fast. They're usually much bigger companies, right? And some you can search by market size companies. Sometimes we do that. I like the mid-sized companies. They're very good. And I can tell you, Jenna, we like value companies. We like value companies that are growing. And we like good, strong companies, big companies that pay dividends. So those are different kinds of things. So you have to decide what you want. Okay? My focus point today concerns the story behind the headlines, why you should be cautious as China concerns affect the marketplace. The stock market rally had solid gains last week. Holiday short and Thanksgiving week, but today not so good. Okay, so what? Why should you worry about China? Well, China is very strict and having riots now about being strict about COVID, and their COVID cases are spiking up. So they've been shutting down different parts of their economy, and the people that work in their economy are getting quite upset about it. Now, they're working because they can't make money. But also, I think you and I need to think about, well, if they are shutting down different parts of their country and there's riots going on, big riots, should we worry about our companies that do business in China? And the answer is yes. And a big example of that is Apple. Apple says they might have trouble having all the phones and pieces of equipment they sell here. They may not have it. Because of China's slowdown in, you know, again, back to the supply chain. It's back to the supply chain. It's a problem. And if China is still, yeah, China's economy is not doing that great. And if they can shutting down more and more parts of their country, big cities, manufacturing districts, we don't know how bad. We don't. But they say they are, and that's why the riots are happening. And what if the riots get out of hand? What then? I mean, are they going to be like Tiananmen Square 20, 30 years ago where, you know, people were shot dead? Lots of them? We don't even know how many because China won't, of course, report that stuff. But I'm just saying, how's that going to affect their economy and how that's going to affect the rest of the world's economy? It will. So I think we need to be cautious here. That's what this is all about, being cautious because of that possibility. Now, concerning earnings, well, we had a pretty decent earnings. We're having a pretty decent earnings season, and it's almost over, and it's been decent. So that has not, well, our earnings are doing pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. So the question is that going to translate into a higher stock market? Well, then you throw in what the Fed's doing. And, you know, you got doubts. So that's why you have to be cautious, even though we had a little rally last week. Got to be very, very careful. So let's grab another listen line question from 888-99-CHART.
Hello. I wanted to get your guys' opinion on ticker symbol BTU. I just wanted to get your opinion on the space and what you think for the short term. Thank you.
Okay. BTU, Peabody Energy Corporation, engaged in coal production and sell through 17 operations in the U.S. and Australia. And your biggest concern should be coal production, because, you know, in this political environment, coal is dirty energy, and no one likes dirty energy. But that's why the stock is so inexpensive. It's a $29 stock, and they're going to make $6.15 this year, and $5.61 next year. So it's a $29 stock, and that means the PE is going to be what, 5? 6? 5? Now, another problem you have with this company is it's very, the earnings and earnings over the years has been very volatile. I mean, if you go back to 2016, they lost $36.73 a share. And then 2017, the very next year, they made $2.78. The very next year, 2008, they made $4.28 a share. And then 2019 came along, and they lost $2 a share. And then 2020, with COVID, down $19 a share. They lost $19 a share. You see, so it's very, very volatile. Sales right now are increasing dramatically, but it's a very volatile stock. I wouldn't buy it. Not for me. We're heading into a break. I welcome your financial investment questions now. No questions too simple or too complex. You set the agenda. You ask the questions. So give me a call here at InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Question is, during the market downturn, do dividends stay fairly steady, at least for blue chip companies as compared to share prices, or should I expect some fluctuation in the dividend stream that I'm hoping to get?
Got a question for Steve or Justin? Now is a good time to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, each time I host the InvestTalk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. I make them into easier-to-understand elements. Each question is tackled live without pre-screening, and some topics are more challenging than others. And that's a good thing, because it allows every InvestTalk caller to shape the content of the podcast. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your InvestTalk questions on the 24/7 Anytime Listener line at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Roger in San Francisco, listening to us on KDOW. Hi, Roger.
Hi. I long-time listener of the show. Appreciate everything that you guys do for the listeners.
Thank you.
I had a question regarding an ETF, AVUS, from Avantis.
Okay.
This is like a total market ETF, but more of a factor-based than a market cap-weighted. I wanted to know your thoughts about the approach.
I like it because it's different, because it's not market cap. That means the big companies don't necessarily dominate. This is an ETF seeking long-term capital appreciation of the Russell 3000 Index. And how the Russell 3000 Index is constructed is not market cap weighted, meaning the bigger the company, the more influence it has on the index. This is more equal rating, equal. But that means you also get little tiny companies that have just as much influence as big companies. So it's different. That's what I like about it. It's not tracking the same thing as most indexes do, and that's the bigger companies, basically. So I kind of like it for that reason. The symbol is AVUS, Adventist U.S. Equity ETF. A, V as in Victor, U, S as in Sam. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Roger. Good call. Appreciate that. Okay, Black Friday, which is, of course, you know, the day after Thanksgiving. Winners and losers. So the biggest winners were, and when I say winners and losers, there's expectations of sales that they're going to have. The winners had much better than expectations, and losers had much worse than expectations. But in this case, the losers had less expectations, but it wasn't much worse, much less. So the winners were Lululemon, okay, A&F, American Eagle, and Victoria's Secret. The losers, Hollister, Gap, Banana Republic, were the three biggest losers. But overall, it was a so-so beginning of the holiday shopping season, up 4.4% from last year. So not too bad. Not great. Not bad. So we're still not, you know, still doesn't look like we're pointed in that recession that the Fed is certainly seems to want us to fall into with their efforts to raise interest rates. It seems like the economy is stronger, and I see hints that it's stronger than they expected it to be at this time. I think they thought it would be more the raising of the interest rates they've done, which they've been pretty strong this year, would have more effect right now. But you know what? The effect comes later, and it's cumulative, and they keep raising rates. So it's going to come. I have no doubt it's coming. So we just haven't seen it yet. Okay? I think we squeeze in one more listener question before they have to take a break. Let's play it now.
Hello, this is David from San Jose. I'm looking to get into Apple. I want to see what would be a good price point to get into. I'll look forward to the answer on the podcast. Thank you.
Well, it's not a bad price at $144 right now. It's not. But I think it's right in the middle of a range, and I would wait till it gets down to the lower part of that range, and that would be in the low 130s. Okay, that's the lower part. You're not that far away. The upper part is 179 to 182. Somewhere in that range is their upper part, okay, of the range that they're stuck in all this year. This year and plus. So I wouldn't buy here. I'd wait till it gets to the 130, 133, somewhere around there, and before I step in. It can get down to lower than that because of the issues we talked about on the show with issues with China and supply chains and stuff. But I don't think so. I think that's about as low as it's going to get, personally speaking. Okay? And I like Apple. I think everybody should be an owner of Apple. I like it a lot. Doesn't pay much dividend, and that's always disappointing. It only pays 0.6% of a dividend. But return on equity is huge at 175%. That's huge. And, of course, they're only a $2.2 trillion company. Massively huge company. Okay? Massive. Okay. We're going to have to take a quick break here. I went too long on a few things, so let's take a break. For now, I'm Steve Pease. I'm ready to take your questions live, 888-99-CHART, on the Next Invest Talks, the story behind the headline. The SEC strikes again on 12b-1 fees, finding another RIA, Registered Investment Advisor. That's tomorrow. For now, I'm Steve Pease. I'm ready to take your questions live at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
Hey, Steve or Justin, this is Blue from Texas. I'm just calling about ticker symbol SAN, Banco Santander.
My question is, how much of your portfolio should you put into like ETFs and mutual funds?
What's your question?
What does it mean when a company's share price falls to cheap prices and executive insiders don't buy more?
You're the best person to ask it.
Hello, this is Mark from Dallas. I love your show. Been listening for a long time. Appreciate what you do. Wanted to ask about Teladoc. TDOC.
888-99-CHART. Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
Have you heard about Riskalyze? It's a brief question and answer form that you fill out online. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein will also get a copy of your responses. They can use the Riskalyze results to help you formulate a strategy that fits your investing risk tolerance. Learn more anytime and take the Riskalyze quiz at investtalk.com.
Hello, Steve and Jason. This is Andy from Long Island. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to both of you and your families, though it's probably belated by this point. Currently, about 8% of my portfolio is in energy, in oil companies, basically. It's about evenly distributed between Devon, DVN, Valero, VLO, and Occidental Petroleum, OXY. My question is, do you think I'd be wise to trim a little bit of that 8% down? If so, from which would you do it? Thank you very much, and looking forward to your response. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to say no. I don't think 8% is too much of any one sector. I have gone as high as 15 to 18% in a particular sector, and I think the energy sector is still a good place to be. So I wouldn't trim. I wouldn't trim at this point, unless you just want to get overall more conservative with your whole portfolio. But I think you'll find, I think you probably experienced, depending on how long you've had them, this year, energy sector has been very good to you. So that would be what I would do. I'm not trimming my oil stocks. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. 50% of Americans earning over $100,000 say they are living paycheck to paycheck. Okay? And one of the problems that they're having, of course, is their purchasing power is going down because of inflation. So the things you could buy last year cost, what, 7%, 8% or more this year. Therefore, you can't buy as much as you did last year, and that's one of the problems. Also, credit card debt is rising, so there's another problem. People are putting more and more on their credit card. However, if you make $100,000 or more, it's usually not an earnings problem. It's a spending problem. You're having trouble with controlling your spending, and that's what you need to get a control of. Cut your spending. Whatever you're spending on, cut it back. Remember, I have lots of relatives who have lots of children, so I have lots of nieces and nephews. I see it personally from parent to parent to parent what they're doing. And I get almost on every case, it's a spending problem, not an earnings problem. Let's go to Richard in the Bay Area. How you doing, Richard?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
I was hoping to get your opinion on MTV.
Okay.
I had a company that they acquired. I was invested in a company that they acquired and I liked them, so I bought their stock.
Okay.
It's done well in a relatively short period of time. I'm up 20% of short-term gains.
Okay.
I'm having a problem with it because it's not what you call cheap, and it looks like it's stopping. I have a hard time to know whether to differentiate whether it's something is a stock is stopping or that it's consolidating up. So I was wondering what your opinion is in terms of selling and moving on to, I would invest in industrials.
Okay. Let's take a look at what MTZ does. It's Mastic Inc. provides building, installation, maintenance, and upgrade of communications, energy, and other infrastructure. It's a $6.7 billion company. So that's kind of broad definition of what they do. I'd like to see where their main income is coming from. But it's a good, solid company. It's always made money. They're going to make $3.10 this year. That's down pretty big from last year at $5.68. But the reason why it's held up so well is next year's earnings are supposed to be $5.40. It's an $86 stock. So I will submit to you that it's at or near its top as far as valuation. And in that case, I probably would take some profits off the table. I don't think I would necessarily get out of it completely. I don't. Because cash flow is still very strong at $10 a share. Return on equity is very good at 18%. Management owns 20% of this company. So there's good, solid reasons to believe that the management has a good, solid focus on their future. So I'm thinking I might trim it because I made a good amount of money, but then still hold on to it. Now, you say it's short-term gains. So, Richard, maybe you want to offset that short-term gains with some short-term losses so you don't have to pay taxes if you have some to offset it. I would play that game. I would look into it because here you are moving in December, and this is time to think about that if it's in a taxable account. Okay? Richard, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Okay, when people take the time to leave an InvestTalk podcast review on iTunes, we'd like to thank them for their courtesy by getting their questions quickly. So this is the Puma 51. That's who it's from. He wants to talk about DIN. And he says, hey, Justin, Steve, curious on what your thoughts are about Dine Brands Global and a fair entry point. Okay. Dine Brands Global, DIN, franchises, license, operates 3,431 IHOP and Applebee's restaurants with plans to open multiple more restaurants. Okay? Stock is selling for $6.09. The stock is selling for $73.62. The earnings this year is going to be $6.09. Next year is going to be $7.04, 16% higher. And it's a $73 stock. So it's selling at about 12 or so, 13 PE, which is not bad, not great, not cheap, not expensive. It's just right there. It pays a 2.8% dividend. Sales are growing 2 to 4%. The IHOPs are having a little trouble, but the Applebee's are not. I think this is a, if you ask if there's a good entry point, I don't know if I would be a buyer of this company, but if I was, it had to be in the low 60s. Right now it's in 73 because it seems like it has trouble breaking above the mid 70s. So I'm not interested at this price. I'd be more interested in the low 60s. Okay, and that's Dine, D-I-N, Dine Brands Global. Basically, it's IHOP and Applebee's restaurants. Okay, 888-99-CHART. Weekend Invest Talk calls from across America and around the world on this number, 888-992-4278. So let's play a question that came in earlier from the United Kingdom.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. Alex here from the UK. I have been trying to follow Justin's advice looking at, I think it's molecules over minerals. I have a company, Ramaco Resources, M-E-T-C, ticker symbol, who deal with metallurgical coal. Small cap, good return on equity, earnings went down over the pandemic, but seem to be really springing back currently. I just wanted to get your opinion on it and what you thought. I certainly looks like a good buy at the moment. I noticed seems to have support around the $9-ish level, although it's bounced back up a little bit. Would you think this is a good buy and at what price? Thanks. Look forward to the advice on the show. Cheers.
Well, this is a pretty interesting company. Ramaco Resources, Inc., M-E-T-C, develops metallurgical coal in southwestern Virginia and southwestern Pennsylvania. They're going to make $3.34 this year and $3.58 last year after making only 90 cents in 2021. It's a $10.89, and they're going to make $3.51. So why isn't selling them for a lot more? It's so cheap. Well, because it's coal. And you know how negative our current administration is on coal, because it's a dirty energy source. They don't like it. This is metallurgical coal. So anyways, it's both a value and growth company. Their sales growth are growing 70, 80% per quarter, the last couple of quarters. Before that, it's gone. Before that was 256%. Before that was 71%. Before that was 94%. It's high growth. Pays a 4.2% dividend, and it's a $10.89 stock. Return on equity is 21%, very high. Cash flow is $1.51. Doesn't have a lot of debt. Management owns 12%. It's a small, small company. That's also a, it can be volatile. It's a $479 million company. So where do you buy it? I mean, what's the good entry price? Well, you're right. It's about $8.50, $9 is a good entry price. And it looks like it has trouble getting above about $12.50, $13. And the next resistance above that is $18 to $20. So it's kind of volatile, kind of high risk. So it's a high risk play, but good solid numbers. Okay, we're moving at a pretty steady pace, and end of this year is upon us. It's getting very close, and I know it's hard to believe, right? But the calendar doesn't lie. So it's reality, everybody. Here's another. The stock market is still presenting what I call changing market dynamics. And if you are serious about your financial future, you have to deal with things as they are and as they come to you. You need to have your strategies set in stone, what you want to do, what your goals are, how you're going to achieve it. You have to look at your portfolio. This is a great time to review your portfolio. Great time to think about taxes. Okay? So, now if you need help with strategy, you need help with your portfolio, that's what we're here for. KPP Financial is more than willing and wanting to help you. I and Justin Klein are owners of KPP Financial. We're based in Irvine, California, between Orange County and L.A. County. Okay, between San Diego and L.A. County, in Orange County. in Southern California. We like to provide unbiased guidance. That's all we do. We don't buy information. We don't buy somebody else's recommendations. We don't do that. We do our own. We also like to parallel invest, meaning we like to buy for ourselves the same thing we buy for our clients. Same time, same price, if we can. We usually do. Investment strategies, we have five of them, from very risky to very not risky. So it depends on what you want, what you want for yourself. Do you know what you have? Is your portfolio risky or not risky? Now, we'll be happy to review the portfolio free. It's always free. All registered investment advisors should be wanting to review your portfolio for free. If they don't, go elsewhere. We'll do it via telephone, Skype, GoToMeetings. Just send us an email through investtalk.com. Or you can call our KPP offices in Irvine, California, KPP Financial. I think after speaking with us for just a few minutes, you'll understand why we are a bit different than everybody else. We are. I mean, there's lots of registered investment advisors that might suit your needs, but we are a little bit different because we really do want to help. I mean, we don't necessarily have to make money off of you. We don't. But we do want to help you if we can. So give us a call. I'll take another caller question next, so just hang on.
In today's world, a variety of factors are affecting the stock markets. Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. InvestTalk is a free download. Your participation makes it unique. Don't forget to call. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. Hi, this is Jimmy in Virginia. Love your program, listen to it a lot, and I've gotten a lot of worthwhile information, so I really appreciate it. I've got a question about tax loss harvesting. I currently own 2,000 shares of AT&T with a cost basis at about $21, and I'm looking to sell it and potentially buy Telephone and Data Systems, TDS. I know it's been in a significant downtrend, but it's a similar industry, and I'm curious what you think about that as possible partner for AT&T for tax loss harvesting. So thanks. I appreciate your answer. I will listen forward on the podcast. Take care. Bye.
Well, AT&T, of course, is a solid company paying the dividend, and that dividend is solid. It's not going anywhere. It's now 5.9%, and the P.E. ratio is 8, so it's a pretty low-priced stock. If it was me, I would not tax loss sell AT&T. And TDS, which is the company you consider buying, provides mobile telephone, local exchange, long distance internet, and advertising. It's a $1 billion company, so it's tiny compared to AT&T. And it's going to make 16 cents a share this year after making $1 a share last year, after making $1.93 the year before. But next year, it's going to lose 4 cents a share. And there's not much growth. I see no reason to own this company. It has lots of debt. Return on equity is only 3%. There's not a lot of reasons to own this company. So I wouldn't make that deal. I would not do it. I'd hold on to AT&T, okay, unless you need tax losses somewhere. You know, if you need the loss, but generally that's what I would do, okay? Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Fed policymakers say they will keep increasing rates. Now, the next Fed meeting is December 13th to 14th, okay? So it's a couple weeks out, okay? And they're signaling that at least they're going to raise rates by at least 0.5%. Half a percent. At least. So if we have time, I'll talk a little bit more about this. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, to help you achieve financial freedom. And our work will continue after this break. So get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk,
A warrant is a right to buy shares of stocks at a certain price.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? 888-99-CHART.
Listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
So I said before the break, the Fed policymakers say they will keep increasing rates. And again, they meet December 13th, 14th on the next meeting. That's the last meeting of the year, obviously. And they said they've been kind of telling us they're going to raise rates by half a point, 0.50. Remember the last four times, at 0.75%? So they might raise it a little less. Do you know what the current rate is? Fed fund rate? Between 3.75 and 4%. They want to get it above, according to them, they want to get it above 5% by next year. Most investors think that that's where it's going to go, 5% next year. Because the Fed hasn't signaled any slowdown in their thoughts yet. Haven't seen any kind of, there's been speculation about a pivot point when they will pivot to a softer approach. Haven't seen any indication of that yet. I haven't. So I don't think it's happening. Okay, so looking at the clock, I can see we have time for just one more call. Let's play it.
Hello, Stephen, Justin. This is Jim in Miami. Just want to thank you guys very much for all the insight you provide on the show. It's really helpful. I have a question today about Equinor, EQNR, trying to get into the energy market. It has a profit margin I saw of 61%. It's beating its earnings estimates all the time. It's got a low PE. I think it was 4.6 I saw, and a yield of 3.77. You guys are really good at finding the turd in the punch bowl. So if you could please tell me what I'm missing here in this stock, it seems like a good buy opportunity. I'll listen on the show. Thank you so much for your help. Bye-bye.
Well, I don't see a lot of negatives here on Equinor ASA-ADR. EQNR, it's out of Norway. It's a Norwegian company engaged in exploration and production of oil, gas, and refining, marketing of petroleum products. It's a $119 billion company, so it's very large, selling for $36 a share. They're going to make $7.10 this year per share. That's the estimate. Way up from $3.09 last year. Next year, $6.54. Still pretty darn high, but it's going to come off because oil prices are coming down a little bit, getting a little softer. Still high, but getting a little softer. But at a $36 stock, going to make $6.54, that's pretty darn inexpensive. A 6 PE, return to equity is 28%, pays a 1.7% dividend. Management owns 1%. Mutual funds have been buyers in the last year. Still sales growth is growing fairly strong, but I expect that sales growth to back off a little bit. But remember where they are. They're in Norway and Europe. They're going to be supplying oil, natural gas to Europe. So they, you know, they're in a great position because Europe can't rely on Russia anymore. So I kind of like it for that one of that's for one of the reasons why I kind of like it. The other is because it's inexpensive. I wish it would pay a higher dividend. 1.7% is not much. But I think it's a pretty good play. I do. Okay, maybe we can squeeze in one more. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Andrew from Atlanta. I was trying to call about ticker symbol ABG, Asbury Automotive Group Incorporated. I read an article in Morningstar. I'm interested in maybe taking a position with this stock. I'm trying to find a good entry point. If you could please let me know your opinion, I greatly enjoy the show. Thank you.
Okay, Asbury Automotive Group, ABG, operates 155 dealerships in 9 states offering new and used vehicles, financing, maintenance, and service and parts. I would say this is probably not a good point in the economic cycle to buy this. The company itself is very strong. They're going to make $31 next year per share. They're making $37 this year. It's $180 stock. Okay? So that means PE is what, 5? That's pretty darn low. Return on equity is very good at 36. Debt is pretty high, or fairly high. Management owns 1%. Mutual funds are steady, not buyers. So I just think it's the wrong time in economic cycle, but I think it's a very strong company. Okay? So I'd probably wait to see when we may get it. Because we're waiting, you know, most people are anticipating a recession in 2023. Are we going to get it? I don't know for sure, but I think I'd be cautious about it. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family and members about our free podcast downloads. You can get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. And, of course, we're, as we mentioned, we're over 47 million downloads, and we want to thank you for that. It's really gratifying. Thank you very much. Please be sure to review and rate us on iTunes if you can. Positive rating will help our profile. Of course, we always like that. Independent thinking and shared success. This is InvestTalk.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.